ஓம் நம சிவாய. டியர் லிசனர்ஸ் ஆஃப் சைவம் டாட் ஆர்க், தி நெக்ஸ்ட் ப்ரோக்ராம் இஸ் ஸ்பிரிச்சுவல் டிஸ்கோர்ஸ். இன் திஸ் யூ ஆர் அபவுட் டு லிசன் கவாய் ஹிந்து லெக்சர்ஸ். தி டைட்டில்ஸ் ஆர் ஸ்டேட் ஆஃப் தி சர்ச் 2004, தி சிக்னிஃபிகன்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஹிந்துவிசம் டுடே, அண்ட் வர்க் இஸ் வர்ஷிப், பிரசன்டட் பை ஸ்ரீ சிவாய போதிநாத வேலாயுத சுவாமி. தேங்க் யூ. ஓம் நம சிவாய.
குட் மார்னிங் எவ்ரிவன். ஹாப்பி டு ஹேவ் சச் எ லார்ஜ் கேதரிங் திஸ் மார்னிங். கிளட் சோ மெனி ஆஃப் யூ வர் ஏபிள் டு கம் டு ஜாயின் அஸ் டு செலிப்ரேட் ஹரிதேவிஸ் ஜெயந்தி. அஸ் இஸ் ட்ரெடிஷனல், கேரிங் ஃபார்வர்ட் இன் ஹரிதேவிஸ் ட்ரெடிஷன், ஆன் ஜெயந்தி வி கிவ் எ ஸ்டேட் ஆஃப் தி சர்ச் அட்ரஸ், விச் the idea of which is to give a preview of what's coming up in the year ahead, what we're focusing on, what we're not focusing on. So I'd like to read that to everyone. I want to review the last two of them. This is our third State of the Church address. So in 2002, the focus was on bringing in new members. About 30 in all came in 2002. Finishing the Master Course Trilogy in hardcover, issuing Level 1 of the New Academy Master Course Study, continuing the jointing and carving work on Yerevan Temple, visiting our members in Mauritius, Malaysia, Singapore, and California at least once. That was 2002. 2003, the focus was on issuing Level 2 of the New Academy Master Course Study, finishing our first small book in quite a while, Yoga's Forgotten Foundation, which the printer will have finished in the next few weeks. Moving ahead with Saivite Hindu Religion Children's Course Book 3, printing a pocketbook size edition of Dancing with Shiva. It's really small, in case you haven't seen it. Good for plane rides. Continuing the jointing and carving work on Yerevan Temple, organizing the 2004 Indian Odyssey Inner Search, and again visiting our members. So that's 2002 and 3 in review. 2004, focus. One of the main focuses for the coming year is on japa, the Panchakshara mantra, and Samaya Diksha. In fact, we have dubbed 2004 as the year of japa. This is because we will be giving Samaya Diksha to members who qualify starting on the India Inner Search in January, and later on in the year in Mauritius, Malaysia, Singapore, California, and even here if some qualify here, or come here. To help prepare our members for receiving Samaya Diksha, we've created a special 6-month preparation course, which has been mailed out to all the members who indicated they wanted to receive Diksha this year. So far, we have 29 members who have asked to prepare. It's a nice size group. A second focus for the year of japa is for all members who have already received Samaya Diksha to bring themselves current. This, of course, means doing an extra 108 repetitions of Om Namah Shivaya for every day that was missed since you received Diksha. So I'm sure no one here is behind, right? Everyone's current, or at least will be by the end of this year. So we want to get current if we're behind in our Diksha. So, for publications, our focus for the year 2004, producing a new version of the Know Thyself booklet, which leads into the Master Course Study and talks about the Guru Parampara. So that'll be nice. For the Saivite Hindu Religion Children's Course, we will print Book 3 and move forward on Book 4. And we're going to produce a pocketbook edition of Merging with Shiva, same size, small. For our teaching program, our major teaching program for 2004 is, of course, the India Inner Search in January. We have some 90 participants, including staff, which makes it our largest program ever, 90 people. And we have planned a balanced program giving equal emphasis in the three areas of master course classes, temple and ashram visits, and cultural events. So it's a nice balance. And there's also the possibility of a week-long student and member retreat in Malaysia in December. It's still in the planning stages and depends on the members there volunteering to coordinate it. For travel, our usual Ganesha Chaturthi journey to Mauritius with stops in Malaysia and Singapore is all planned out, and we're just buying our tickets. We go that far in advance in our ticketing. We also have a trip to Vancouver and Edmonton, Canada, scheduled for June, which corresponds with the annual festival of the Mahaganapati Society there in Alberta. Trip to Toronto and Montreal is still in the planning stages for August. We're going to California, but we haven't set our dates yet. And the most recent trip is we have received a verbal invitation from the president of the Atlanta Temple, Dr. Raghu, who is here recently on pilgrimage, inviting us to be the chief guest at the Prana Pratishta for their new Shiva Temple for Memorial Day weekend. They're opening a Shiva Temple that's a completely separate building from their Vishnu temple that they already have, which sets a nice pattern, having two temples with a little distance between them for Shiva and Vishnu. And the last area is our Adinam property. Our main activity in developing our property is, of course, the Erivan temple jointing. It's a big project. And the good news is the sanctum will definitely be finished sometime soon after Tamil New Year, April 13th, we'll have the capstone in place. It's going to look beautiful for everyone. And we hope it will be gold leafed before it's put in place as well, to make it even nicer. Also for Erivan, we're starting a capital and endowment fundraising campaign with the goal of raising $13.6 million in 6 years. And this is the inspiration and being coordinated by Devarajan, and with the close help of Isan Katir, Dr. Shan Sundar, and Surya Kumar, all of whom are major donors to Erivan. And also we have our parcel across the river, our 400-acre parcel, Himalayan Acres, and our focus this year is on planting additional trees. Lots of trees are needed for fences, windbreaks, and future fruit production. So that's our coming year in short. Thank you for listening. The year of Japa. So, we already got all our prasadam, vibhuti and everything from Gurudeva, so we won't repeat that. And I'll excuse myself. Om Namah Shivaya.
Been one moment, been a while, like 4 weeks or something. Something like that. Reminded this morning for a trip in India, there's two things that were omnipresent in India. One was Shiva and the other was a bottle of water. Used to drinking water from a bottle on the trip. So. 8 glasses a day, right? Good for your health. So I thought this morning I'd share the talk I gave in Chennai at the end of the trip. We had a gathering at the hotel, and the inner searchers there and our staff, which is 90, because I think about 150 guests came, something like that. So we had about 250 in the room. Very nice group of, lots of them were people that were helping us with artwork and various other projects over the years. So, Writers for Hinduism Today, priests, we had Tamburmurti's elder son was there, Sean Mugham. So all of our various contacts in the different areas we work in were present and represented. So the event had two themes. One was Erivan Temple, and for that we played the video which shows about Gurudeva and the temple. I guess we don't call them videos anymore, you call them what? DVDs? DVD we played. That was nicely received, beautifully done. There's wonderful scenes of Gurudeva dancing and so forth besides the temple, which really gives it nice life. Have you seen that here? Everyone see it? No.
I think most people have seen that.
No, maybe we need to show it.
I actually have one. I can show one of those for me. I can bring to our next mission gathering.
That'd be nice. No, it's nothing new. I mean, you've seen it, but it's organized in a new way. And was it about 20 minutes? 20-minute introduction, just long enough. You know, it doesn't go into great detail. It's not like Shankaranagan's, you know, long video on the temple. This just has a few shots from his at the end, which is very nice to see the virtual temple come to life. So that was the Yerevan portion, and then the Hinduism Today portion was basically my talk. So the talk starts out about Hinduism Today and then goes a little broader at the end. So one of the statements I remembered, because I hadn't heard the phrase before, this was a long time ago, maybe 20 years ago, when Hinduism Today was just getting going at a certain level, maybe 15 years ago. In Singapore, we were talking to Mr. Geary of Geary Trading Company, very large bookseller of Hindu books in Chennai. It's a nice shop near, two shops, one near Kapalishwara Temple and the other somewhere else, not too far away from there. It's more like an office. So they were talking to us about Hinduism Today, about reprinting Hinduism Today in India, different possibilities. And they used the phrase, you know, Hinduism Today was like carrying coal to Newcastle. And, you know, I'd never heard that one before. It was a classic British statement, you know, carrying coal to Newcastle. So I had to find out what it meant, first of all. So I found out, well, Newcastle is like where most of the coal in England is in Newcastle. So, I mean, to carry coal to Newcastle is ridiculous because you already have most of the coal of the whole country is sitting there. So it would be like bringing water to Lake Tahoe. You know, we've got plenty of water already. It doesn't need any. So anyway, that's how it starts out. I decided, well, I don't know, use that phrase and start the talk with. Many years ago, a bookseller in Chennai made the comment to me that distributing in India a magazine on Hinduism that was produced in Hawaii was comparable to carrying coal to Newcastle. Though there is, of course, some truth to this, the comparison overlooks the important point that though there are many excellent Hindu magazines printed in India, most represent a specific organization, and the articles in them only present that organization's philosophy. Possibly it's all of them, but I didn't want to say all magazines. Someone might pull one out. But that's not the case. I said most, to be considered. But it's probably all. Hinduism Today was created, on the other hand, to present information on all of Hinduism's major sects and lineages, not just one. Furthermore, its first purpose is to foster Hindu solidarity as a unity and diversity among all sects and lineages. An illustration of the idea of Hindu solidarity is found in the problem of conversion, particularly to Christianity. The issues involved in conversion are quite similar in all countries. Therefore, if we read in Hinduism Today of solutions that are successful, for example, in Malaysia, we can apply many of them in our own country. In conversion and many other issues as well, Hinduism Today encourages all Hindus worldwide to stand together to face their common problems, which is the essence of the idea of Hindu solidarity. Hinduism Today is also able to present information on all the major sects and denominations. This broad editorial policy enables it to produce articles that give more of an overview of Hinduism than is common. For example, an article in the October 2003 issue presented an in-depth look at the four denominations of Hinduism, Saivism, Shaktism, Vaishnavism, and Smartism. Understanding the existence of these four widely diverse viewpoints within Hinduism is central to holding a clear understanding of the religion. Yet often textbooks and displays on Hinduism leave out this core concept. So for an example of that is producing a museum display for Hinduism. It's part of the Vishnu Mandir in Toronto. They have the Vishnu Mandir as its temple, and then next to it they're creating a hall which is devoted to presenting information on Hinduism in various displays. And it's going to be quite nice when it's done with a fountain coming down, and big lotus and different things, and grandly conceived. So the person who's behind it all, Dr. Dr. Dubai, very fine man, a medical doctor by profession, he's really the force behind this temple, showed me the material they were presenting in the exhibit. And it left out the four denominations. It wasn't there. And, you know, it goes into all six Vedanta philosophies in great detail, which is more like a historical or academic exercise than something that's really that useful. But the idea that there's four denominations wasn't present. So we sent that off, right? That information. So we sent off our Hinduism Today article on the four denominations, encouraging him to include it in the exhibit as a very useful statement. In fact, you know, when we did it, we had that in mind that it could be sent off to various places and help this idea get presented, because it's so, Hinduism is so much clearer when you realize there's four different points of view on it. And then you begin to, when something is said, you begin to ask yourself, what point of view was that? You know, and because quite often the smarter point of view gets put forward as if it's the Hindu point of view. Smart to point of view on the deities, for example, that all deities are different aspects of the one supreme being, gets put forward as if that's the way all Hindus look at it. Of course they don't. That's the way the smart to Hindus look at it. We like to say that Hinduism has a leadership rather than a readership, meaning that many of those receiving the magazine are the heads of Hindu groups or teachers in these groups. The increased urbanization in India and diaspora outside of India has isolated many Hindus from their family's traditional source of knowledge on Hinduism, such as grandparents or a nearby mutt. Hinduism Today helps fill this gap with articles that explain the reasons behind the traditional Hindu practices. So this becomes more of an issue every year, as more and more Hindus are outside of India and more Hindus in India are in the cities and outside of the traditional villages. The kids ask for answers and there aren't any. No. The parents don't know how to answer the questions. They don't have a resource person there to help them. So Hinduism Today can help fill that need.
Good morning, everyone. Testing our technology. Is it working? Good. Never know. To welcome our two guests this morning, we're happy to have you with us. We have a short talk, this part of our program. Try my new glasses here. So, we're preparing for our journey to India. We have a group, as you know, of about 90 people altogether, counting our staff, heading off for India in a few days. Through the temples and some of the monasteries in Tamil Nadu. And one of our stops toward the beginning is at our Iravan temple carving site, our work site in Bangalore. We're going to have a very special event there one evening. So I was trying to choose an appropriate topic. This is the talk that's going to be given there, because I don't have time to make two talks. One for today, one for then. So the natural subject I thought of is, it's a work site, so work is worship. It made sense to me. Work is worship. So that's the title of this talk, Work is Worship. The concept of work is worship has many aspects to it. To some people, work and worship are totally separate. Worship is what is done in the temple and in the shrine room. Work is what is done in the fields, the factory, and the office. They are completely separate. We are working to earn money to support ourselves. We are worshiping to receive the blessings of the gods. The two have no relationship. What is it then that transforms work from a secular pursuit into a religious one? It is an overview that it is through the process of living life that we unfold spiritually. It is through fulfilling our natural duties in life honestly and to the best of our ability that spiritual progress is made. Work puts us in situations where we interact with other people. In doing so, we work through the karma we created in the past and create new karma to be faced in the future. Through interacting with others, we learn important lessons and as a result, improve our behavior and become a more spiritual person. With this in mind, we can see that pujas in the temple and our daily work are both contributing importantly to our spiritual progress. There is a quote from Paramaguru Yogaswami which captures the essence of this perspective. All work must be done with the aim of reaching God. Isn't that nicely said? All work must be done with the aim of reaching God. So nothing we do is separate from that purpose. In fact, today is Yogaswami's nakshatra, Ashlesha. I heard it go by this morning. So it's his Guru Puja Day, monthly Guru Puja Day for Yogaswami. So it's nice that he gets to say a few things. He has about four little statements here to make. Okay, we have a second idea. Let's develop a second idea on how work is worship. This is the idea that work is dharma, fulfilling our religious duties in life. We all have certain duties in life. It is the duty of children to go to school and become educated. It is the duty of adults to earn an income and raise the children. Our natural profession in this life is based on the professions we have fulfilled in our past lives, plus the karma we bring into this life. This is called our swadharma, and fulfilling it to the best of our ability causes us to make spiritual progress. The idea is that we are challenged by the demands of our natural profession, but have within us the ability to rise up and meet those challenges successfully. Here's a quote from Yogaswami to illustrate this point as well. Do your work. Work is swadharma, following your pattern. Next, a third idea for work is worship. The idea is that we can integrate certain religious practices into our work routine, which bring blessings to it and give it a more spiritual atmosphere. For example, a shopkeeper has a shrine to Lord Ganesha in the corner of his shop, does a puja there every morning asking Ganesha to bless his business for that day. In a stone workshop, such as this one, a puja is done before beginning carving on a new stone to remove negative forces and obstacles. In this way, we are integrating worship into our workplace environment. Gurudeva tells us, Lord Ganesha influences events slowly and subtly in unseen ways. Situations will change for you, unexpected doors will open, and the custom ones will close as you are propelled through his grace towards your inevitable, glorious future. A fourth way that work is worship is the idea of selfless service. This is the concept of helping others in a selfless way, performing actions for which we receive no personal benefits whatsoever. Benefits usually are in the form of money or prestige. This is most commonly referred to as karma yoga, union through service. Karma yoga produces spiritual progress in that certain past negative karmas can be mitigated, meaning lessened, as well as new positive karmas created for the future. Selfless service is also an excellent way of overcoming the instinctive tendency of selfishness, being totally self-centered and only concerned about oneself. It is interesting to note the unique relationship between selfishness and happiness. The more selfish we are, the less happy we are. And the less selfish we are, the happier we are. So they're in opposite. Gurudeva gives an excellent explanation of the benefits of karma yoga. Go out into the world this week and let your light shine through your kind thoughts, but let each thought manifest itself in a physical deed of doing something for someone else. Lift their burdens just a little bit, and unknowingly perhaps, you may lift something that is burdening your mind. You erase and wipe clean the mirror of your own mind through helping another. We call this karma yoga, the deep practice of unwinding through service the selfish, self-centered, egotistical vasanas of the lower nature that have been generated for many, many lives and which bind the soul in darkness. Through service and kindness, you can unwind the subconscious mind and gain a clear understanding of all laws of life. Your soul will shine forth. You will be that peace. You will radiate that inner happiness and be truly secure simply by practicing being kind in thought, word, and deed. The fifth concept of work of worship, work is worship, is in the concept of Sivathondu, which is the idea that is akin to karma yoga in our tradition of Saivism. Sivathondu means service to Siva, and one who performs this service is called a Sivathonda, or Sivanadiyar, which literally means a devoted servant of God Siva, who regularly performs selfless work in service to others. Sivathondar or Sivanadiyar also conveys a mystic relationship between the devotee and God Shiva, in which all spiritual, mental, and physical actions are perceived as fulfilling the will and design of Shiva. There is an important statement by Paramaguru Yogaswami on Sivanadiyar. Quote, "We are Sivanadiyar, we are Sivanadiyar, we are Sivanadiyar. We are Sivanadiyar. This is Charya, this is Kriya, this is Yoga, this is Jnana, this is Mantra, this is Tantra, this is the Panacea." What Yogaswami is stressing in this statement, of course, is that the core attitude of being a devoted servant of God Shiva is the key to making progress on Saivism's spiritual path. The sixth concept of work as worship is that in Saivism, the first stage of practice is called the Charyapada. It is also called the Dasa Marga, meaning the path of servitude. For here the soul relates to God as servant to master, which is the idea of Sivathondu, of which we were just speaking. Charya is the performance of altruistic religious service and living according to traditional ethical conduct and culture, by which the outer nature is purified. It is a stage of overcoming basic instinctive patterns. The keynote of Charya or Karma Yoga is Seva, religious service, given without the least thought of reward, which has the magical effect of softening the ego and bringing forth the soul's innate devotion. There is an excellent quote from Tilumular's Tirumandaram describing the temple duties of those following Charya. "The simple temple duties, lighting the lamps, picking flowers, lovingly polishing the floors, sweeping, singing the Lord's praise, ringing the bell, and fetching ceremonial water, these constitute the Dasa Marga." The seventh and final idea on work as worship has to do with how well the skills we develop in our outer life are useful in our inner life as well. Read that again. The seventh and final idea on work as worship has to do with how the skills we develop in our outer life are useful in our inner life as well. For example, if we develop the habit of good concentration in our school studies as a youth and carry this on in our adult life by being totally focused on the tasks we do at work, we have developed a strong ability to concentrate. Therefore, when we sit down to meditate, our thoughts are naturally concentrated, and it is easy to control the mind. However, if as a child we let our mind wander during our studies, and as an adult daydream a lot while working, when we sit down to meditate, it will be impossible to control our thoughts. Another important ability we develop in our work is willpower. Willpower is the strength of will to carry out one's decisions, wishes, or plans. People who regularly make plans and fail to carry them out lack willpower. For example, the student often plans to get up early to study for his or her tests, but always when the time comes, decides to continue sleeping in instead. Willpower can be cultivated by finishing and doing well every task that we undertake. In fact, done a little better than our expectations. First, finish each task. Second, do it well. Nothing is done with half our mind thinking about something else. Nothing is dropped in the middle. Developing these two important habits produces an indomitable willpower. A strong willpower can be turned within and help us immensely on our inner pursuits, such as meditation. But first, it must be developed externally. Strong willpower is also helpful in being able to, in general, to better control the instinctive and intellectual mind. Gurudeva has an insightful comment on willpower. The more you use your willpower, the more you use your personal, individual willpower, the more willpower you have. In summary, we've looked at six different ways in which work is worship. First, through holding the overview that it is through the process of living life that we unfold spiritually. Second, that work is dharma, fulfilling our religious duties in life. Third, that we can integrate certain religious practices into our work routine, which bring blessings to it and give it a more spiritual atmosphere. Fourth, that work includes karma yoga, selfless service. Fifth, that selfless service gives rise to the attitude of being a devoted servant of God Shiva, dedicated to helping others. Sixth, that work includes performing religious service at the temple. And seventh, and finally, that concentration and willpower developed in our work are useful in striving to meditate as well as in controlling the instinctive and intellectual mind. Om Namah Shivaya. Work is worship. Thank you.